Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished professional, author, and someone who's achieved a lot in life, Kristen McHugh. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Christine is a coach, consultant, and startup leader. She's the former Vice President, Customer Service and Operations Services for Starbucks. She's president of the Green Apron Alliance. She's an author from barista to boardroom. And all of you who know me know that I'm very partial to authors. Her book is a memoir about her 27 years career at Starbucks. And she is passionate about running, cycling, and volunteering at the local community market. So, Christine, let's first talk about your book, From Barista to Boardroom. Tell me about the book and your journey to the top at Starbucks.
Yeah, the book is a memoir. So it is really a story that has woven in both career and as well as life transitions and some of the things that I've learned along the way. And the book was sparked actually on a run about 6 years ago with a friend of mine who thought that I had a story that might be useful, helpful, and inspirational, particularly to women earlier in career. And so I spent a few years working on it before it got published. And it really has come about as a way of, through storytelling, how I have navigated through some of the challenges in life, my career, the decision-making that I've had, and really taken an unconventional path and one that suits me and is driven through the lens of my values. So I never expected it to do big things, but it's actually really led to a lot of incredible connections like this one. And I've met people from all over the world as a result of it. It was a project where I was looking to develop my writing skills, but also help and inspire people earlier in career, particularly women. And it really ended up exceeding my expectations. So yeah, so some people say my next book should be From Boardroom to Barista, but being a barista would be too hard for me today.
Okay. But from boardroom to coach is something we'll certainly talk about.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes next. I'm not sure, but...
But you know, tell me, for someone, for an organization that is as big as Starbucks with... you know, encompassing multiple cultures, what were some of your key challenges, you know, as you were, you know, making your way up to the top?
I think, you know, when you're working in an organization that's growing so fast, I mean, you always need to constantly like improve upon yourself and learn and grow and find new ways to reinvent yourself, but also keep perspective of what's happening outside the organization. When you're in a company that's as big as the one I was in, and certainly it was small when I started because there were only 37 stores and not even 1,000 people in the company, you know, but as the company grew, trying to keep a perspective and sharpen your learning or my learning by seeing what is happening outside the company was one of those challenges. So not being so caught up in the work and the day to day. So I had to continue to like maintain connections and networks outside the company while learning in my job as well. But one of the exciting things in working in a fast growing company and a global company at that is having the chance to do a lot of different things. So my career path was very much a checkerboard pattern. Sometimes people use that word, or a jungle gym. It wasn't just a linear career path. Sure. I had worked in a lot of different functions. And when you're in a big organization and a fast growing global organization, if you lean into that and really try and see what are the opportunities for you to engage and take on more responsibility, you can do a lot with that. And so while there were times where it was challenging, it was also really exciting. And with an openness to what might come and reveal itself and what types of things where maybe my skills could add value, but also like, what could I get from this experience? And I was talking with somebody earlier today that there was one of my jobs I had, there was vice president of business optimization, not the best job for me. It was a very technical job. I had an engineering team. I had an analytics team. I had a workforce design team. not my best role for me, but what I learned from that is what are the things that I'm really good at and how do I actually leverage when I'm not good at them? How do I leverage the strengths of my team? Mm-hmm. So while that might've been a challenge on one hand, it was also a really great opportunity for me to kind of hone in on the things that I enjoy and I'm good at.
Fascinating. So, you know, when you were telling me about your book, you also mentioned that you thought this was a book that gave some interesting lessons to women.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from you. What is the kind of feedback you've got from women who've read your book on the lessons they've taken away?
Yeah, I've gotten so much feedback from people, and I've saved in a document all outside of Amazon reviews and kind of more generic feedback, every single email, text, direct message I've gotten from people around what they got from it. And women in particular have given me feedback that I feel a little bolster of courage to be able to take a risk, to choose our own path and not get caught up in what I call the shoulds of life. What should I be doing? How should I be growing my career? How am I balancing my family? What are the things there? And to actually return to them the power to make the decisions that are right for them. So I've heard that a lot from women. Mm-hmm. I've also heard from women that navigating their own career and finding their voice in the workplace is something that they felt an extra jolt of support for. So how do they actually kind of lean into the things that are important to them and be vocal about it versus letting things happen to them? Okay. So definitely get a lot of feedback from women on finding courage, finding their voice, taking risks, and also just being yourself. Yeah. I think sometimes, at least I've experienced personally, I've shown up in the workplace with how I think people want me to be versus being the person that I think is important, who I am. Okay. And I'm hoping at least some of the feedback I've gotten from women who've read it is like, that's what you need. Just be ourselves. Mm. Don't try and be somebody else. And there is a perception sometimes that you kind of have to put on this persona or this perception of a leader or a, you know, driver of your career. Just being real, I think actually can be much more impactful.
Amazing. So I'm going to ask you one more question regarding diversity and inclusion. You know, in the US, there has been a lot of discussions on diversity and gender balance and inclusion at board levels. The rest of the world seems to be catching up. I wanted to understand from you, what are your thoughts on how can this imbalance be corrected faster?
Oh my gosh, I wish I could had an answer for faster because it's complicated and a lot of these things are deeply systemic. Mm-hmm. I think with inclusion, there are a lot of biases and assumptions, not necessarily explicit or intentional, but really deeply rooted in us. And so to move faster, to your point, really starts with education and self-awareness. So one of my clients I've been working with has been doing a lot of work on anti-racism, you know, in America. And I've been able to benefit from learning from their experience on how to create an organizational culture that focuses, that understands the systemic aspects of racism and what does that mean and how does that manifest itself and what can you do differently? But it takes time and it takes organizational commitment to really examine your own biases and assumptions. It's not a quick fix, but it starts with a level of awareness. Now, if I look back at my career, especially like now that I'm older and wiser, that I experienced that at least from, you know, biases or decisions that were made assuming because I was a woman. Like for example, and I wrote about this in my book, when I had my son and when I was pregnant and my boss didn't think I could handle the job when I got back from maternity leave, he would never have asked a male if they'd be able to handle being a working parent in the way that he asked me. That is bias right there. And so we need to kind of get ahead of that and be able to confront and have those conversations. And then also in a leadership realm, be open to examining those things. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated and it's complex. And I'm not an expert. I can only speak from my experience. I have people say, what is it like to be a woman? And I'm like, I can only tell, that's all I know. I mm-hmm. identify as a woman. I can't tell you what it's like to be a man. And I can't tell you what it's like to have some other gender identity. Mm-hmm. But I can just tell you from my own experience. So understanding that is really important.
No, that's very helpful. So I want to talk to you about your new avatar as a coach. After such an amazing career, what made you become a coach?
I love working with people and I love working with leaders and teams, help them understand what their strengths are and how they can maximize their effectiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, every individual that I've ever met has goals and aspirations in life. You, me, you know, the people that we work with, our families, and a coach can help somebody realize and unpack what are those things that they want to achieve and how do they do that in a way that's appropriate for them. Mm-hmm. And so I do a lot of consulting with small to medium-sized organizations. Mm-hmm. And I only do that through the lens of supporting the leader and their growth. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about doing the project. It's actually about helping them achieve their potential and seeing mm-hmm. how they can contribute and feel that they're at their best self. So it's one of my values is service. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to be of service, is to help people identify and unpack that. And then when they achieve it, it's pretty powerful because right. it unleashes possibilities for them to do other things and do the things that matter most to them. So,
okay. And you also say that you are a startup leader and you just mentioned that you support a lot of these companies. From your perspective, what do you think are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
It's hard because startup entrepreneurs are so passionate about their product or their service and it's their baby and they, you know, live and breathe it. So as their organizations grow and scale, a lot of startup leaders have a hard time letting go mm-hmm. of things and delegating and understanding that their role as a leader has changed. Mm-hmm. So I was just talking today with somebody that owns a small company who started as an individual and now it's a multi-million dollar company. And that person is still, you know, fairly small in the scheme of business, but she now has 10 people on her team. Her job needs to be different. She needs to be spending her energy in new places, business development, vision, you know, creating a culture. Whereas before she was a leader who was doing it all herself. Mm-hmm. She's always going to be in the weeds and trying to understand everything that's going on. That's just normal for startups. But at some point, a startup leader needs to recognize that their role has shifted and what the organization needs from them is different from perhaps what it was before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working with a lot of leaders that I do. It's not just about, I said, delivering the project or figuring out how do they implement this new system or put these new structures in place or evolve their culture, but it's also how does their role in this organization shift because the business has come to this place and what's going to be needed from them later.
Correct. Wonderful. So coming back to coaching, my next question is that who, in your opinion, should look for a coach?
Everybody. Okay. Everyone needs a coach. I need a coach. You need a coach. Some are formal, some are informal. You know, we have coaches in our personal lives. We have coaches in our professional lives and we have coaches in our, you know, athletic lives or hobbies or teachers, mm-hmm. but you know, coaches, a great coach is going to be able to know what your strengths are, mm-hmm. help you maximize them, but also figure out what are the things you need to continue to work on. Mm-hmm. They will challenge you. They will provide perspective that maybe you're not seeing, and yet they will also support you. So coaches I've worked with have helped me gain confidence. Mm-hmm. They've helped me develop new skills. They've pointed me to resources. But they've also helped me feel good about who I am and the contributions I have today. Okay. And I think when you have a coach, especially somebody who's not in your organization from a workplace perspective, mm-hmm. they're able to step out of the work environment that you're in and offer some additional insight. It's very different from the coaching that you get from a manager. Good. So everyone needs a coach. Sometimes you know, have multiple coaches. I do today. So
Wonderful. And how long should a coaching association be for?
I think it depends on what your goals and objectives are. So a great coach is really going to hone in on what your coaching goal, what your objectives are and what are your goals are. I found with most of my clients, it's usually a minimum of 3 to 6 months because there's a need to develop a relationship, to set goals, to be able to make progress together, to celebrate that progress, to unpack obstacles. And it takes a while to get going and get into that rhythm of that. So I have a client I'm working with now who we just had a check-in. I think we're probably 4 months into our coaching relationship. And I actually asked her for feedback, like what's working well, what do you need differently? And she said, one of the things that's working well is she's actually seeing progress. If I would have only been working together for a couple months with her, I don't know if she would have been able to answer that question the same way. So I think it really depends on the goals, but probably a minimum of 3 to 6 months. In some cases, a lot longer, depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
Very interesting. And one more question relating to coaching, and then we'll move to the next segment. And I think you've partially answered it. That my question is that how does one evaluate that I have a good coach?
Well, definitely the progress. Are you making progress towards your goals is one thing. Is there a good relationship? Do you feel like that coach is adding value? I mean, a great coach is going to ask really fantastic questions to develop insight to provoke your thinking. If you leave a coaching conversation and you don't feel like things have moved forward, or it hasn't prompted, the coach hasn't prompted you to potentially think about things differently, it's probably not a good coach. So those are things that I would look for, that challenging, provoking thinking and learning and progress. Again, if there's no progress, you're probably wasting your money. And that actually may not always be on the coach. That might be on you.
Correct.
Right? Because it requires the coachee to have a level of commitment and following through on the objectives.
Interesting. So I also wanted to ask you about the Green Apron Alliance. You know, you're the president of this. Tell me a little bit about the Green Apron Alliance.
So the Green Apron Alliance is a nonprofit organization. It's a global nonprofit and it's a member organization for Starbucks alumni. And so we started, I think we become an official legal nonprofit 2 years ago, and it started very much as a grassroots effort. But now we're actually a formal nonprofit organization where we serve our members around the world. They've told us the things that they want from us. Our connection and community and career development. And so as a organization, our mission is to serve them. We actually just last week had our annual members meeting. We had people participating from China, from India, from across the United States. And our goal is to serve their needs in that. And it's very much a startup organization. So it's a little chaotic sometimes. I have other nonprofit organizations I'm involved in, but it's my first time being president of a nonprofit and a brand new nonprofit. So I'm learning a lot, but we're all focused on a mission of being able to serve our alumni community.
Fabulous. So Christine, I'm going to now move to the last segment of our conversation. Our young viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So my first question is, what would you say are three key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
Well, probably the first one, if I were to do it in chronological order, is when I moved from a retail business to corporate. So my very first corporate job was a huge milestone because I'd never worked in a corporate before. I was learning what it was like to work in an office and all of the, you know, I don't say politics because it wasn't just politics, but all the kind of, what is that structure? So that was a huge milestone and was a major trajectory for me. I think another big milestone was I became a mom. My son just went to college. He's 18. And when I first became a mom, I was trying to navigate, how do I grow my career while still being a parent? And what are my obligations and commitments and what I want from that? So that was a really big milestone. And I always knew that I liked to work. Mm-hmm. I was very industrious, but I felt a lot of guilt as being a new mom. And so I had to kind of figure out what was important to me. And then the third major milestone was actually my sabbatical. I took a sabbatical right before I left Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty significant transition where I spent a lot of time evaluating, what do I want next in my career and in my life? Okay. And I ended up going to work for a small company. I decided to leave the organization, and that ended up being a trajectory for a lot of different things, including my book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, fabulous. Those three.
Fabulous. And for someone who's been right at the top in a large company, supporting NGOs, is an author, what are some of the core values you believe in?
My two core values, hands down, are service, being mm-hmm. of service to others. So the reason I wrote my book was around being of service by sharing my stories, even in a conversation like this, of being of service. And my second core value is learning.
Okay.
I'm constantly learning, growing. How do I expand my knowledge? How do I expand my skills? How do I set new goals for myself? So I have others, but those are the two that are service and learning are always at the top of the list.
Wonderful. And my next question is that from where you stand today, what does success mean to Christine?
Oh, that's a deep question. I think success for me means living in my values and bringing my values to life.
Okay.
So am I of service to others? Am I growing the capability of others? Am I serving my communities through my volunteer work and nonprofits? Mm-hmm. Am I learning? Am I being challenged? Am I growing? So that's what success looks like to me. It's not, at this point in my career, it's not a job level, and it's certainly not a salary level. Mm-hmm. But it's like, am I actually able to live my values and have others benefit from that?
Okay. I have time for two more questions. My next question to you is a follow-up from my question on success. And that is that who or what inspires you to keep doing so many different things?
This is going to sound very cliche, but everybody inspires me. Okay. And I really mean that, because I look at every interaction and every engagement with an individual like you. Like, I love hearing your story. That inspires me. It makes me want to kind of challenge myself and find new ways to, you know, contribute meaningfully in my life. And so everyone inspires me. And I'm not just saying that to make it sound good.
Sure.
I really do mean that. I take every interaction I have with every single person as a moment of learning and inspiration. Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I would say inspires me is nature. Okay. For sure. Mm-hmm. Especially mountains. Mm-hmm. It definitely inspires me about in their majestic nature of them. And I often feel very reflective when I'm in the mountains. But wonderful. Everybody inspires me.
Wonderful. And my last question to you, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation, for, you know, you made it, as you say in your book, from a barista to the boardroom. What would your advice be to a young individual who's starting off on her or his corporate journey?
There's a few things. One is raise your hand and offer to be involved and look for ways to contribute differently. The next one is always be open to the opportunities. And I look at those as distinct, because you can raise your hand, but being open to the opportunities means you never know what's going to present itself. Don't shut it down. Be open to it. You okay. never know what it might happen. And the third one is take the risk, take the chance. Try something new. Do something that might not feel comfortable. I mentioned I was the head of business optimization. It was not the best fit for me, but I learned a lot from that experience. Okay. And if you can be, you know, take some risks and try something new, you might discover something that you love that you never anticipated before. And you also might just confirm something that was like not a good thing for you. So if you can do those three things, raise your hand, be open to the opportunities, and take risks, the possibilities are endless. They're limitless. You can do whatever you want.
Fantastic. Christine, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for taking me down your amazing journey with Starbucks, talking to me about your book, and giving me a lot of knowledge about coaching. Thank you again and good luck.
Thanks for having me. It was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.